The Lord is my shepherd. Ed was a sheep rancher in Idaho. One day a stranger came up and asked, "If I can guess how many sheep you've got, may I have one?" Thinking this is impossible, Ed agreed. The man said, "You have exactly 1,795 sheep." "How in the world did he know that?" wondered Ed. As the man selected an animal, threw it up on his shoulders, and began to walk away. "Hey, wait," said Ed. "If I can guess your occupation, can I have that animal back?" "Yes," said the man. "You're a government bureaucrat," said Ed. "How in the world did you figure that out?" asked the man. "Well," grinned Ed, "if you set my dog down, I'll tell you." The Lord is my shepherd. Psalm 23 is one of the most beloved passages of the Bible. It speaks directly to the joys and fears of any human being. It reminds us of the goodness of the Lord toward his people. We are like sheep under the care and guidance of the divine shepherd. The opening verse of the shepherd's psalm, Psalm 23, speaks of the shepherd's provision, and we examined that last week. And then the next three phrases speak of the shepherd's peace. "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul." What a wonderful image of contentment and peace found here. What a contrast to our anxious and stress-filled lives. We need the shepherd's peace. The shepherd's peace brings rest. This is the idea behind green pastures. It represents the end of the day. The verse does not say, "He makes me eat in green pastures." It says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures." A shepherd's day starts early. He leads his flock through the rough pasturage to the more tender grasses. Finally, he looks for a shady place with the sweetest grasses where the sheep can lie down and rest. Apparently, it is quite difficult to get sheep to lie down. They are stubborn. They tend to wander off, are readily distracted, and easily panicked. Ever wonder why God would use sheep to describe us? Okay, that was rhetorical. Okay, sorry. We are like sheep. Philip Keller, author of the best-selling book, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, tells us, "It is not generally known that sheep are so timid and easily panicked that even a stray jackrabbit suddenly bounding from behind a bush can stampede a whole flock. When one startled sheep runs in fright, a dozen others will bolt with it in blind fear, not waiting to see what frightened them. One day, a friend came to call on us from the city. She had a tiny Pekingese pup along. As she opened the door, the pup jumped out and onto the grass, and just one glimpse of the unexpected little dog was enough. In sheer terror, over 200 of my sheep, which were resting nearby, leaped up and rushed off across the pasture." Sheep need rest, but they will not rest if they are distracted or fearful. Keller continues, "In the course of time, I came to realize that nothing so quieted and reassured the sheep as to see me in the field. The presence of their master and owner and protector put them at ease as nothing else could do. And this applied day and night." Like sheep, we cannot rest if we are preoccupied with worry and fear. Nor can we look to the world to ease our fears and give us peace of mind. Peace comes from recognizing the presence of the shepherd. There is no substitute for an awareness that the shepherd is nearby. If we have the shepherd's peace, then we can find rest for our souls. Jesus said, "My peace I leave you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you." Now, how is it that we can have peace when so much of the time we are in conflict? We're in conflict with others. We're in conflict with God. We're in conflict within ourselves, in mind and body. How can we have peace? Well, the answer is found in the kind of peace that Christ offers. It means, first of all, peace with God. This is a gift from God to be received by faith in Jesus Christ. Paul writes, "Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us." Romans 5. Verse 1. Secondly, the peace that Christ gives is not based on worldly circumstances, but is felt from within and is the assurance of a fuller peace to come. From Jesus we hear, "I've told you all this so that trusting me, you will be unshakable and assured, deeply at peace. In this godless world, you will continue to experience difficulties, but take heart, I've conquered the world." John 16, 33. And thirdly, it is a peace that comes from knowing that the Lord is always with us and will never forsake us. I read a story about a recent widower who was at a monument company arranging for a marker for his wife's grave. He told the salesperson that he wanted rest and peace on both sides. After the completion of the work, he went out to the cemetery. And there on the front of the gravestone were these six words: "Rest in peace on both sides." Now, the article didn't mention whether he was upset or not. I don't know. But if you think about it, there's a measure of truth to that, isn't there? We can have peace with the Lord on both sides. The shepherd's peace also brings satisfaction. It is like a drink of cool, fresh water. It fulfills what we need in a way that is lasting and profound. Getting sheep to drink the right kind of water is quite a challenge. On the one hand, sheep are terrified of moving water. They are poor swimmers, and if their coat becomes soaked, the excess weight means they drown. So a shepherd has to find calm water where the sheep can safely drink. The text says, "He leads me beside still waters." On the other hand, sheep are interested in any kind of water that's not moving. It could be dirty, it could be polluted, it could be filled with parasites. They don't care. They just start drinking it. So the shepherd must be careful to lead them to clean, fresh water that's good for them. Now, like sheep, we have a tendency to look to the wrong sources to meet our deepest needs. Just over 50 years ago, a group that some of you have heard of, called the Rolling Stones, came out with their first international number one hit. Satisfaction, as in, I can't get no satisfaction. Now, I'm not going to embarrass you by asking you to raise your hand if you remember that song. But Mick Jagger, who in addition to being a well-known rock star, apparently is a theologian on the side, wrote the lyrics to that song, and he said that the song is about alienation from commercialized culture, an inability to find anything authentic, anything that satisfies the deepest longings of the human soul. Mick Jagger. I would have to say that the situation has not improved since that song was released. Social psychologist David G. Myers of Hope College, some of you have heard of Hope College, wrote a book called The American Paradox, Spiritual Hunger in an Age of Plenty. And he says that since 1960, we have less happiness, more depression, more fragile relationships, less communal contentment, less vocational security, more crime even after the recent decline, and more demoralized children. The things of this world cannot bring satisfaction, cannot satisfy our spiritual thirst. And we are paying the price for our metaphysical dehydration. The Bible says, God has set eternity in our hearts. Ecclesiastes 3:11. This creates a spiritual thirst that can only be satisfied by God Himself. Listen to what Jesus tells the woman at the well. Those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. John 4:14. The shepherd's peace brings joy. This is the meaning of a restored soul. David says, he restores my soul. The Hebrew has to do with bringing something back to its original capacity. In this case, the capacity to enjoy. Souls were made for joy. A restored soul is one that has not only learned to enjoy the gifts of God, but to enjoy God Himself. What makes for the ability to enjoy God and the things of God? Well, the biblical concept of joy is intricately related to the act of rejoicing. So, biblically speaking, joy is a verb. You probably learned in English class joy is a noun. But I'm telling you from a scriptural point of view, joy is a verb. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say, rejoice. Rejoicing means to celebrate that there is such a thing as goodness and that goodness will triumph. It may look bad now, but you know that someday it will change. Eugene Peterson, in translating 2 Corinthians, puts it this way. So we're not giving up. How could we? Even though on the outside it often looks like things are falling apart on us, on the inside, where God is making new life, not a day goes by without His unfolding grace. These hard times are small potatoes compared to the coming good times. the lavish celebration prepared for us. There's far more here than meets the eye. The things we see now are here today, gone tomorrow. But the things we can't see now will last forever. This kind of joy is uniquely Christian. Samuel Shoemaker once said that the distinguishing mark of Christianity is not faith or hope or love, but joy. Jesus said, "I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be overflowing." John 15:11. Now, much happiness is passive. We wait for the right circumstances to come along. We wait for people to do things which please us. But joy is not passive. It does not wait for all the right circumstances to line up. It is an action that affirms God's goodness right from the start. Now, our English word, happiness, gives itself away, because the root of happiness is hap, H-A-P, and H-A-P means chance. Our culture teaches us that happiness depends on circumstances. It depends on chance. If you're lucky, you'll be happy. If you're unlucky, you'll be unhappy. But biblical joy is independent of circumstances. Now look at the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5. Jesus speaks of this incredible joy in the context of impoverishment, of grief, loss, conflict, even persecution. If biblical joy does not derive from worldly circumstances, then it cannot be destroyed by them either. The Hebrew term for this joy is found in the first psalm. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers, but they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. Psalm 1:1-2. It has a sense of, hey, congratulations, you're on the right path. The person in Psalm 1 has the right priorities and their destination is assured. If you've ever been lost in the woods, but then suddenly came upon a familiar landmark, then you have a sense of what this feels like, this kind of joy. You know you're going to make it home. Christians can rejoice. Christians can rejoice because they know they're going to make it home. And we know this because the shepherd will make it so. You and I are so much like sheep. We need a shepherd. Only in Jesus, the good shepherd, do we find a peace that brings a healing rest, a lasting satisfaction, and an irrepressible joy. If you want peace, follow the shepherd.